So it was lovely. Part of the children's talk, we could see the introduction that we'd got. We're going to look at the whole thing of adoption. What does it mean to be adopted? Great, we've got some boys and girls here this morning. Yeah, high five. Good to see you. Yeah, high five. And another there. Yeah, won't leave you all out. We'll make sure everyone can understand. Straightforward, simple, sit down and then shut up. Okay, that's what I'll try and do this morning. Adoption. Now, when you're born in a family, your mom and dad got what they got. And for me, my mom and dad, they got me. And they got what they got. Whether they wanted me or not, there we are. And I'm sorry this morning, you got me and you got what you've got. So when you're born in a family, it's great to be born in a family. But, you know, in a sense, your mom and dad, they got you. And I'm sure they love you and they'll continue to love you. And it's great. But when you're adopted, when you think that of adoption, it means that you've been what? You've been chosen. And you may think, of all the peoples of the world, I've been chosen into a family. And that's equally lovely, isn't it? Because you've been chosen. Whereas for me, my poor mom and dad, in some ways, you could say, they didn't have a choice in the matter in some ways, that they weren't expecting Dalton King. You know what he's like, he's loud, he's whatever, he's troublemaker, whatever. They literally got what they got. Whereas, okay, we could go on. So it's lovely to be adopted. Of course, it's lovely to be in a family as well. So we won't undermine that. So this morning, our text, the verse we're going to look at, everybody, is verse 4. Let's have someone reading out verse 4 for me. Nice and loud. What does verse 4 say?
Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him.
Incredible. Now, my mind, I don't know about your mind. Come on, everybody, wake up. But when you think, what does it say? Chosen in him before when? Before the foundation of the world. This is even most amazing. So what are we saying now? That God, if we're a Christian, if we know and love Jesus, that he chose us in him, even before the world was created. Actually, more than that, even before you were born. What about that? You know, you think about being adoption and, you know, and I know a couple of families already, well, certainly one in our church, Josh, praise God, said to him, great, but five of them, boy, and they're young, and boy, I was almost in tears at first when I think back of me bringing up, not me, my wife and I, three children. It was actually mainly my wife, because I don't know these ladies, some of the stuff they do at times, I thought amazing. But dads as well, thank God for dads, and we love them. But you know, a couple of families I know who's been involved in adoption. And when you think here, it says, chosen in Christ before. It's worth hearing that again, sister. That, what was that verse again, sister? Read it out again. Before.
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world. So it means, boys and girls, everybody, are we all with me? Before you were born. Sister, sorry, you've come to the front. Hope you've got good insurance. It means that before we were born, Jesus set his love upon us, upon the Christian. Isn't that incredible? So it wasn't that he said, well, I'll choose that one because of that, I'll choose that one because of that. No, not so with God. So it means with the Lord Jesus, whether we're black, white, purple, pink, yellow, doesn't matter about the colour of our skin. He's not interested. He's interested in the state of our hearts, our inside, whether we really want to follow him. Boy, that's mind-boggling. We could finish on that, couldn't we, and send everybody home to think that God chose a Christian before the foundation of the world. Amazing. All right, what we're going to do? Chosen. We're going to look. Oh man. So the first slide, and you may not see it so well because of the lights, but it's when you've been chosen. Now I hope that's the one I get my. Now the background there's all dark. And this, that should be really light there. But this person here was excited because she'd been chosen. And it's great to be chosen. Maybe some of you, You've been chosen to go to... Put your hand up if you've been chosen to go to Buckingham Palace, any one of you. Oh, not yet. Still to come. Fred's looking. Yeah, others of them. Chris is looking. We're all looking. Maybe that letter will come one day and you think, Buckingham Palace. Boo-boo, meet the Queen. Wouldn't it be good? And it'd be great when we're chosen. But this person here was so excited because she was chosen. Chosen for something great. And we always feel good when we're chosen. And under adoption, we're going to look at three things. That's the first point. Chosen. And chosen is powerful. Because if we're all honest, we all want to be chosen to a certain extent. Depends what it is, doesn't it? But generally speaking, it's good when we're chosen. I think of school. And I'm thinking of the school team being chosen for cricket. Oh, I used to love cricket. Especially when the West Indies and beat England. Even better. Hey, used to love my cricket. Used to love football. And I used to get annoyed when sometimes you got two captains. And there's a big group of us. And the two captains, they can pick who they want. And when you're the last one, you think, oh dear, here we go. I'm the last one because I feel I'm no good. You know, they go for the good players first, don't they? Do you know what I mean? And sometimes at the end you think, oh dear, I'll show them, and so on. And sometimes we do show them. But it's good to be chosen. And we cannot state that enough. And with our verses here, if chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And I love something else, because in John chapter 15, I need a reader, please. John chapter 15, verse 16. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And we're still making the point, adoption. Three things we're saying. The first thing is, we're being chosen. Okay, but in John chapter 15 and verse 16, I want no prizes for the first one who can find it and read it. Go ahead.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Right. So, God says he chose us. We've already made that point. And what should we be like? Those of us who are Christians, what should we be doing? That we should what? Bear fruit. So that we should be fruitful. So that we should tell everybody the good news that Fred was telling us about. I love that start, Fred. Good news. And maybe we'll thought, oh, I wonder what he's going to say. Oh, well, maybe we weren't expecting John 3:16. Maybe we were expecting, oh, I've got a fiver for everybody here after the service. No. But you know, what news? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what, we've changed the days now from Tuesday to Wednesday. On a Wednesday, and I don't want the end of September to come, because every Wednesday we're out on the parks telling boys and girls about the Lord Jesus. And some of them are at a point saying, is God real? What can he do with my life? And many of them are trying other ways to get to God. But isn't it lovely that we could say that we've been chosen by God to be fruitful, to tell everybody else about Jesus? Put your hand up if you're still off school. Yeah? Off school? No school. Put your hand up if you're really pleased to be off school. All right, hands up. Put your hand up if you're really looking forward to going back.
Really?
Okay, right. Okay, we won't mention school. The majority don't want to go back. But do you know what? When we know and love Jesus, we want to be, as it says there, fruitful. And then there's another passage, and we needn't turn to it, but I love it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before God was speaking to this young man, he says, before I formed you in the belly, in the womb, I knew you. And one other scripture which I want everybody to turn to, because it's so, so lovely. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. Look at this, everybody. It's lovely. Boys and girls, let's read this. Oh, boy. Right, I need a reader as well. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And where are we? Verse 2. And this is so lovely because we're still making the point that we've been chosen. But more than that, I love Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. Can I have a reader, please?
For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth.
Did you get hold of that, everybody? Right. We are a chosen people. We've made that point. Everybody keep looking at that verse, if you're able to. So we're a chosen people. My version said, and I think Fred mentioned this, a special what does it say, Fred?
Treasured possession.
Treasured possession. Do you know, you're treasure, everybody. You're rich. You're rich. Oh, we're rich. Can't read the back row. Deuteronomy 14 verse 2. Everybody. Fred, take hold of that. Sister. You are a treasured possession. We're loaded in here. You may not feel it, but you're treasure to God. Take hold of that this morning. Can't be dull and gloom and boring and that. Hey, treasured possession, boys and girls, aren't we? Yes. Deuteronomy 14 verse 2. And this is what God says about all of us. For the Christian, a special treasure. And my Bible, New King James, it says, above all peoples who are on the face of the earth, God's people, not just for the Jews, to everybody here today, to all people, Jews and what we call Gentiles, non-Jews. The Bible, God's word, is for all of us. Isn't that lovely? It's great. All right. So we have been chosen. The second word I want you all to remember. So, although we've been chosen, I want you all to remember. And could one of the boys and girls tell me, what does that word say, please? Someone in the third row, one of the boys and girls. What does that say? Anybody know?
Costly.
So we've been chosen. But do you know what? Being in God's family, it's costly. What do I mean by costly? What happened? What did Jesus do? Any of the boys and girls can tell me, or someone. What did he do? He died on a cross, thank you. All the way on an old, rugged cross. He died. And do you know what? We're saying he's a King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. In one sense, he didn't have to go all that way to Calvary to die on a cross. But because he so loved us, he didn't want us to die without him. He didn't want us to perish. He didn't want us to have the punishment that we all deserve. And do you know what he said? He said, you know, I'll take that punishment. Now, I'm not saying anything new. You all know that. Of course we know that. But we need reminding, don't we? I will take that punishment. And so it's costly. Jesus went all the way to Calvary for you and for me. And you know, we must never think, we use a big word that's not used so often, redemption or being saved is not cheap. It's not easy believism. Oh, just smile, Jesus loves you, and that's the end of it. Oh yeah, we can smile and we want to be smiling and be thankful that Jesus loves us and it makes us happy, great. But more than that, we've got to say, do you know what? Now that I'm a Christian, I want to live as if I'm a Christian. I want to bear fruit. Do you remember what we were saying? The Christian should be fruitful. I want to tell others about Jesus. I can't keep it to myself. What do we do with good news? We tell everybody. I remember when I used to work at British Shoe Corporation. Cool, that was a long time ago. I remember there's a young lady, she got engaged. And she walked in the office and she showed us all her ring and we're all smiling. And even though some of us couldn't tell what sort of ring it was, diamond, whatever. You know what I mean. Us men would just smile very nice and walk off. But you ladies want a bit more detail, don't you? Anyway, there we are. But, you know, we're all rejoicing with this lady and she was showing her ring. But then when we got to the canteen, and it was a like a service station at British Shoe. It was one of those where you pick your tray up and you just walk along and pick the food that you'd got. And this young lady, she'd pick the tray up and she got the tray by her side and her ring there. And she was walking like that, picking the stuff, showing everybody her ring like that, all around. Incredible. Now you may say OTT, but do you know what? She was happy. She wanted to tell everybody about it. And why shouldn't we? When we're happy. But, you know, the thing is, it's costly. Jesus went all the way to Calvary for us. And it means that we should be careful. We should love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our very being. And sometimes when we feel low, we've got to be careful that we're still not allowing ourselves not to read his word, not to pray. How are we doing in our prayer time? How are we doing? Sometimes, you know, we can convince ourselves how tired we are. And we don't bother. And you know, once you miss your Bible time one night or one morning, whenever you do it, morning or evening as well, whenever, it gets easier the next time and easier and easier. And before you know where you are, you're not doing anything. And you find that you're not as close to the Lord Jesus as you really ought to be. And this is why 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20, I always find it very powerful. You know, we're talking about it's costly. Well, it says there, you know, you're being bought with a price. Be careful, even how we use our bodies. You're being bought with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus and he wants the best for us. So it's costly, and Jesus paid the ultimate price in dying for us. So what have we said so far? What was the first point about adoption? We have been chosen. Secondly, it's costly. Thirdly, right, we are cared for. Now, again, we are cared for. Not quite harvest time yet, but we're cared for. Put your hand up if you had water in your house this morning when you turned your tap on. Yeah. Okay, put your hand up if you didn't have any water whatsoever. See, we've got water. Put your hand up if you're still breathing. Yeah? Or you may not feel it, but yeah, okay, you breathe. Okay, I understand. Put your hand up if you're not breathing at all, in which case we'd all run out of air or do something. Okay. See, the thing is, we are alive. No matter how we feel, the aches, the pains, the struggles of this life, we are alive. And we want to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're breathing. Aren't we? We've got food. Did we have a brekkie this morning? Put your hand up if you had a brekkie. Yeah, most people. So whether you had cornflakes or porridge or Weetabix or whatever. Fried egg and bacon. Oh dear, don't have such luxuries. Did I have it here in Loughborough? Who had egg and bacon this morning? Oh right, it's luxury, not many. Okay. Oh, not gonna admit to it. Okay. But there we are. We've had something to eat. When we go home at lunchtime, we're gonna expect water, and I'm sure some of us Sunday lunch, aren't we? So whatever you're having, whether it's vegetarian dish or beef or lamb or chicken or whatever, we're going to have hopefully something to eat, something to drink. God, he provides the food that we have. And in our churches, we're going to celebrate harvest in a few weeks' time. 20th of September for us at Little Hill. But we're going to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you give to us. So in this family, being adopted, wow, what a family. What have we said? We've been chosen before we were born. Wow, boy. Because adoption today, you get an opportunity of looking and whatever, and you choose your family. But with God, before we were born, incredible. Come on, your mind's got to be baffled by that. Mine is. Come on, donkey. Boo! Boo! Before I was born. What a God! Boo! We're excited. I know you all think I'm mad, but maybe you're wrong. So chosen before I was born. And then we're saying we're being costly all the way to Calvary for us because he so loves us. And then thirdly, we're saying we're being cared for. And as we're finishing now, we're drawing towards a close. What can we say? And we've said it already. Because of this, I couldn't think of another seed, but because of all that, we could say, there is therefore no, and that's a long word, boys and girls, there's no condemnation. Let's put it simply, no punishment for those who are in God's family. Ultimately, no punishment for us. Why? Because he has chosen us. We belong to him. Yip-boo, yip-boo, back row, front row, whoa. We belong to him. What? Hey, Chris, you're not missing out. Hey, what a God. No punishment to those who are in Christ. And you know what the big question is? Are you a Christian? Do you belong to him? Can you really say this morning? Oh, we've got to be, we're dead serious now. Am I in God's family? Have I come to a point in my life where I say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned, you know. I've messed up. And do you know what? We've all messed up, including Dalton King, big time. We've all messed up. But we've got such a great God. And do you know what? This great God, he comes to us in love. He doesn't come to beat us up, to tell us we're no good. No, 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 that's not my God. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. Are we weak and heavy laden? It says in that verse. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. You can know that friend this morning. Your world may well be crumbling, but you know, there's a God this morning who says, I will never leave you. What a promise. Nor forsake you. And sometimes we go through the most incredible trials, whether it be at work, whether it be in our family lives. You know, but we see it. We really see it. And for us, yeah, I'll be personal. My wife's father's living with us. You know, he's 93 years old. He's getting frail now. And, you know, we took him off somewhere for respite a couple of weeks ago to give my wife a break. And others are helping. Oh, the one other brother helping. And, you know, my wife sometimes, she gets tired. She's got me and two other boys. My boy's still living at home. You know, that's a lot of work. And, you know, sometimes we get down with things and we feel, you know, how are we going to cope? But, you know, we've got to hang on in there because we've got a great God who says, I will keep you. And this is why I always quote Jeremiah 29:11 because I love it. You know that? Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Put your name there. Put your name there. Plans not to harm you, that's it, some of you know, but to prosper you. We've got to believe it. So, as we finish, no condemnation, boys and girls, no punishment. When we know and love Jesus, when we become a Christian, when we are in his family, and in that family, in God's family, we've got everybody. I was trying to think something to embrace the whole world. All the people, all the nations, black, white, it's just some hands together. There's a thing that, there's a little globe thing there, and these are all hands. So you see black, white, purple, pink, yellow, blue, unless you're colorblind, all there, yeah, yeah. We're all there, all embracing in God's family. What a family. And I say again, are you in it? Are you in it? So, so important. So you're not getting away with it. So, first point, we have been chosen. We have it, but even though we've been chosen, it's costly. We are cared for. And what's the fourth bit?
No condemnation.
No condemnation. And for the boys and girls, what that means, we say no punishment. And because of that, oh, being in God's family is wonderful. And that's my prayer this morning. Come and see me if you want to talk more, but more than that, to know and love Jesus as your Saviour. Amen. Amen.